I think you would be better at a DJ than a pastor. I think that should be your second job, pastor. DJ first pastor.
I appreciate that. We're
alive. 18 and a half minutes, and the most useful thing we've gotten out of this so far is casket moves.
I'm still counting on the express, man.
If he could make it sometime before the end of the night's over, I wouldn't mind it.
he's dressed up for it.
I've survived 4 years of that side, and I've survived 4 years of that side, and knowing that Jesus is in control, keep living for the Lord, regardless of who wins.
And I've come to the conclusion that...
We know which question we're talking about. I bet I can answer it.
Let me say it to see if you agree.
I'll let you know if you're
right. Let's get some notes. Y'all just pass the note to me.
I'll let you.
I'd be the most boring pastor ever. I just preach on love every single week. Love. That's it.
That might not be a bad thing.
It's just love. It's not complicated. It's love. But it is hard to love everybody. To love the way God loves is humanly impossible.
Here's your birthday card.
Happy birthday, man.
I appreciate it. Yeah. What do I have in here? I have a lot of things.
Look at there. Some cookies for you.
Renee actually went to the store and bought these after physical therapy. She actually walked in there.
All right. Look at
that. She didn't have to do it, and she felt bad for you, so she gave you a little pack.
So he gets a consolation care pack.
That might be something.
I've already had some of them.
That might be something tonight. It really is. In fact, I'm going to head out of here and head up to the hospitals because Miss Betty Dickens' birthday is today too. And so we're going to go see her in the hospital in her birthday. She's 90.
So her and your mom are the
exact same day. And there's another guy that's down in Baptist Grove that's one of my dearest friends. His name is Buddy O'Neill, and he taught me everything I know about woodworking, which he knows a lot more than he taught me, but I still have 10 fingers, so we're good. Almost. Almost lost it in a chainsaw accident.
Yeah, you did.
Well, I hate you. You get my card, man. I wrote a personal note and everything else. I do it on every card.
Yeah.
You get credit for it.
I have connected the dots everywhere to have my mail continue to be forwarded,
so I'm hoping it gets
to one of my addresses.
It'll be a Christmas card.
It'll get there some point or another.
But I love one of the things I love about ministry is writing birthday cards to people and trying to make them personal.
Mm-hmm.
It keeps you on your toes that you better know your people.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy doing that. And then especially, folks that you have seen the Lord do some things in, that's pretty cool.
You're still working on mine?
No, yours was happy birthday.
I'll have to check with the post office and see what happens with my forwarding and stuff, because I had it turned on to forward to one, and then I switched it to another. And I don't know from doing that if it stops, I don't know how that works. I'll have to check with them and see, but...
I think it does for a year.
It does, but see, since I moved and changed it again, I hope I get it, but I appreciate that. That was really really sweet of y'all. And
let me tell you, Kenny and Renee are two of the sweetest people.
No, Renee did that. She actually did it, not me.
When she
knew it.
I need to find out from Renee how she found it out.
She, in her class, probably, when you taught, she found it. That's just my guess.
I will say, when you can make a 26-year-old lady semi-upset because she might be losing her deacon, that ought to tell you he's a good deacon. Yeah. I'm telling you, my 26-year-old daughter, when she saw that list Sunday, it's the deacon nomination, deacon ballot, she said, "Am I going to lose Kenny as my deacon?" And I said, well, we'll see, honey. I don't know. And she said, "Dad, I don't mean to say this in an ugly way, but," she said, "I've grown up in church, and you're my dad, so I've always been a pastor's daughter. That's the first time I've ever known who my deacon was." And I said, "Well, Kenny is a, on a scale from 1 to 10, he's at least a 3.
A solid 2.53, somewhere in that range.
Let me tell you something. Kenny's a solid 10. He is for a, listen.
You're too kind.
But I mean this, and it's a thank you. I'm not both pumping your head up. I'm wanting to say thank you for a card sent to my daughter when she moves to Nashville. That's the kind of thing that, hey, that's legendary, man. That's the kind of thing that people will be talking about 20 years from now.
Yeah. Well, she deserved it.
She's getting away from you, so I had to encourage her.
You don't know what was in that card, so.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm sorry for all the years.
She just told you about the card, not the what was in that card. I said,
We had a good time Sunday at the packing party.
And then we did, didn't we?
Yes, we did.
I missed that. I was gonna.
That was a lot of fun.
I was planning on going to that, and I'd already kind of promised to head up there.
That's one of my favorite events, man.
My dad's gone to Wyoming on a hunting trip and left mom up there by herself for a week.
Well,
and
I
wanted to go up and hang out with her and the dog and keep them company for a day or so. And so I rode up after church and we watched it back about three times, I think. I think we watched the service from Sunday about three times.
We had a good time Sunday.
That was good.
Well, you didn't notice that I was not there.
I did. I'm taking roll.
I was there.
You were there for Sunday school.
Yeah.
I was
there
for Sunday school, church. I stayed.
You were baptism. Right there helping me get dressed.
Yeah.
Yeah, baptism. But I'll talk about the
Christmas party. You want
that? Oh, the, yeah.
You know,
I thought you Merry Christmas, baby. And I thought I was looking right at you. Who was I looking at?
The packing party?
Yeah, the packing party.
Yeah.
I put all the stuff out there.
Yeah.
But around 3:30 or 3:45, somewhere around there, I went home.
Yeah.
I was tired.
Yeah.
I ate all your all that food that you saved. Yeah, that was good. That was a
big party.
Then I left.
Big party. There was some eating going on now.
Yeah.
Oof.
Well, I already had my fill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So there was no reason for me to stay.
That's right.
Yeah.
He'd already come. You'd already eat the food after he's eaten.
We played Christmas music. I was DJ Saint Nick on the Wheels of Steel.
Well, yeah.
Oh, man.
And I would, stop and tell some Christmas jokes and then interview some folks about what's your favorite Christmas tradition and what's your favorite Christmas food, what's your Christmas movie. That was kind of fun.
I think you would be better at it, DJ, than a pastor. I think that should be your second job, pastor. DJ first pastor.
I appreciate that. Man,
now I'm just playing with you.
You know, it's a special spiritual gift when you can manage to say something and you don't know if it's an insult or a compliment.
No,
that's a good little tap dancing gift.
My son is a DJ, so I'm figuring out we can go into the wedding business together. I can marry him.
DJ
Curly. We'll see if you can guess which one that is.
It was Nathan.
Yes, Nathan.
Yeah, that's
Nathan.
What I was trying to. I was thinking a bit about Nathan, but my mind was saying Daniel.
Yep.
Yeah. The name Daniel.
That's Nate.
It was Nate. Yeah.
89.3 shout out and Long Live Radio. That's his sign off every time. He'll say Long Live Radio and sign off.
89.3?
Is he really?
I'm going to check that out sometime.
You don't want to check it out. It's UNC Public Radio. UNC Chapel Hill Public Radio.
Okay. Well, I heard him talking about playing Ray Wiley at some point.
Some of the music he plays. Well, now, he can play just about anything he wants, and that's pretty cool. But he started out playing some real good music because he'd send out hey, my show's at 3 o'clock in the morning. Give me some requests. And I would send him, all the songs that I love. Daniel would send songs he loves, and he would play them. Then I don't know if he started working his way up or what, and then he started playing all this stuff. And I'm like, dude, that ain't even music, man. Yeah. What is this?
Yeah.
Daniel was there too, wasn't he?
When?
For your mother's birthday.
No, we FaceTimed him. Okay. Nate was.
That, I told Renee you.
We FaceTimed Daniel in.
And the girl was Nathan's.
That's Nate's girlfriend, Jasmine.
Okay.
Smart little girl. Man, she's smart.
I didn't think I saw Daniel, but Renee.
Yeah.
Yep. And they did come for.
Was a special treat.
She.
It's good to see her out and about.
Well, she came for your mother to see your mother.
Yeah.
I thought it might be, but I was there.
By the way, you were in her way. I mean, she said hi to you.
You just happened to be standing there. Yeah. Get out of the way.
But she didn't go looking for you. She went looking for me.
I know.
I had to make sure there was no line, so she didn't go in there. And she was saying that she told Miss Pierce that she's the only person she'll pick up, put on makeup, go see.
Look at that. Not even you.
I see her without it.
Yeah, there you are.
Yeah. He's trying really hard to take back, some of the compliments he paid you last
week. Really, he's been brutal today, man.
He really has.
Well,
we better start a show because
he must have listened. He must have listened to the show last week because he was quite complimentary about how humble you were and how easy you were to work with.
He wants to make sure to keep you that way.
He's like, I got to turn this back around now.
I had thought about you, people saying nice things about you.
Yeah. So you want to?
So I want to keep you level.
Let me give you a shot of truth.
Yeah.
Keep you on the ground.
Let me give you a dose of truth, champ.
But everybody, you're right. I mean, I want to be complimented.
Yeah, and I get that, and I appreciate it at the same time.
But you have to recognize, and I like what you said. I don't need you to compliment me.
Yeah.
Mostly if you know you're good.
Well, thank the Lord for you. Yeah. I love that. That's a great compliment. Yeah.
I imagine you do get a lot of compliments on your
times.
Yeah. Every sermon you get. Yeah,
a, you also get some complaints, but that's all right.
He needs those.
It's cold. It's cold in here.
Yeah. Well, coffee is warm.
Yeah.
When, coffee's supposed to be warm.
You know, I kind of dig this, though, man. For 15 minutes, we've talked about nothing, but we've talked about everything.
That's right, yeah. See, the longer we take to start the show, the more outtakes I get for the end of the show.
Right.
So it all ends up working out really well. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Right. Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
There's plenty of outtakes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I have a good time with those.
I don't feel bad now.
We could do an hour long show of outtakes. And that would be hilarious.
In the end, you said this.
It'd be great.
I was thinking, well, didn't I say that in the beginning?
Probably. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, now
that I'm always rearranging.
You're switching everything on.
Yeah.
You're playing with my mind.
Well, see, I mean, you got to, yeah.
I didn't know you were doing that. I just thought you were tricks on me. Delete things as you were going through, then you know, put it together.
Well, usually,
so you're moving here to here and there.
Okay. Full disclosure: usually, it comes out more or less in the same order that we said it. Yeah. There are times that I'll rearrange something a little bit, like you know, if things like today, like we're 15 minutes in, we haven't said welcome back to the other 167 yet.
Yes.
So, hey, well, hey, he finally found the camera.
We got Garrett, we got Kenny, we got Ben.
Yeah, we hadn't introduced the names in of the characters lately, so we got Pastor Ben Pierce.
Trying to jazz up the place, class it up a bit.
You want to lose the jacket? I mean, you
no, look I might as well keep it on. I've had it on all day.
So anyway, never know when he's got
had a funeral today, for those that are wondering.
Yeah.
You never know when he's got to fly out here with the cutting jacket on, so he's just going
to
stay.
Just stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Funeral, what?
Always
funeral
ready.
Will travel.
That's right.
Always ready.
Funeral will travel. This is the mobile funeral services whenever you need it. Some people do drive-through weddings. You do drive-through funerals.
Well, actually, I have. This is the strangest thing. Yeah, I think it was during COVID.
This will be Kenny Lewis, by the way, on the...
what is it called when you go out there? Wake? Is that what it is?
Yeah, like graveside.
Yeah, well, you go to the funeral home. You know,
okay, that's visitation.
Visitation. They had drive-through visitation.
I've seen that.
Where they put the dead person out there? I've never...
So what's our take on wake? So a wake that's not a Baptist. Is that a Catholic thing? I always think of that as almost the same as visitation.
That's more of another, but yeah, we always, in Baptist world, it's usually visitation. Family will receive visitors.
Right.
It's visitation. Yeah. And sometimes it's before the service, sometimes it's the night before.
Yeah.
And that's what that is.
These are all these little terms. I don't know the difference between a wake and a visitation.
Don't quote me on this, and I need to go back and do the history of funerals, but I believe a wake used to be like the family stayed awake.
Oh,
because it used to be the body would be at the home and stuff
well,
like that.
Well, you usually got buried where you died is where they buried you because there wasn't a lot of.
You'd have a family cemetery.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
We have a family cemetery.
I think Ray Stevens
did. Really?
Yeah.
Didn't Ray Stevens do a song about that? Like staying up with the dead? I've seen it.
He might have. I don't know. He did a song about everything. I know he did about the squirrel in the church.
Mississippi Squirrel Revival.
Streak. That was some of my favorites.
The Streak, yeah. That was, I had a video when I was a kid, I don't know, 8, 6, 7 years old of his boogity, greatest hits.
Boogity.
Yeah, boogity, boogity. Yeah.
We've actually dug up graves on our land. Didn't even know they were there.
Special Halloween edition.
Yeah, yeah.
We are only 3 days removed.
There was one time. Because, like, you know, the water table is only about 4
feet. Yeah, I mean, golly, you had the beach.
My grandfather was floating down during Hurricane Emily, was floating down the...
I can believe that. How did you know?
Well, it had its name on it, I guess.
Okay.
We could recognize it. Yeah, I remember that casket.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, casket kind of look alike.
Yeah. Well, got to remember where we're from.
Okay.
Man alive, 18 and a half minutes, and the most useful thing we've gotten out of this so far is caskets
moving from the shallow grave up to Buxton, where it's 20 feet, it's on a ridge, 20 feet above.
Yeah, a little bit higher ground. So, is it still a family graveside? Is that where you're going to go?
I don't know.
He hopes not anytime soon.
No, I'd probably get cremated, avoid all that.
I'm still counting on the express, man.
We were talking about the express before you got here.
You're still leaving your
body here. No, it's all right. I ain't got to worry about it.
Well, your clothes and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know about your body.
Yeah, I was going to say, they shall rise and meet them in the air, so
I'm
planning on...
But I don't know if he's talking physically or
I'm planning on taking the ride, baby.
So, well, yeah, but I don't know. Are you going to meet him physically or spiritually, your soul, or...
I think it's going to be physically and spiritually. And
I never really thought about it until you said it.
Yep. But I know I'm going to... I will rise and meet him in the air. I'll be gone in the twinkling of an eye is what...
You're going to split that eastern sky, aren't you?
All I know is I'm ready to fly. Time for me to fly.
If he could make it sometime before the end of the night's over, I wouldn't mind it.
Yeah.
he's dressed up for it.
Yeah. Yes, we do have something going on in our nation.
We do.
Tonight.
Yeah. And, so this is we're recording this on November 5th. I have absolutely no idea when it'll get out.
Oh, we can make predictions. No, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, no.
But all I know is, man, I'm so thankful that after tonight, maybe I won't see another commercial for a while.
Know the truth.
It's been I hate I live in a swing state. I think I need
try
to
try being
to
an
a,
independent well, this, in a swing
believe
state.
Believe me, I am.
Whew. Yeah. The only reason why this is a swing state is
and I think they know I'm not as independent as my name might be.
Well, I am getting hammered from both sides, yeah. And one side in particular is hammering me quite a bit. I don't even say which one, but I've gotten a ton of texts over the last little bit, and I've already voted. I really wish I heard somebody say, I wish there was a national register somewhere that would tell them.
Well, I told my post office, my mail lady, I voted. Please don't put any more in there. She says she can't do it. She got to put it in there. I'm going to put it right in the trash.
How long has North Carolina been a swing state? Was it just last election?
I think it's been at least two elections.
Okay. I remember when Virginia was a swing state. All that.
Well, DC, 16, 20, and 24. So this is at least three.
So now
I think
where are
Virginia's pretty well established on their.
But they could be coming back because
really?
Virginia,
it's in play.
Yeah.
Virginia was a Republican state.
Yeah, it's in play time. Tonight. Yeah, they had a Republican governor for a while.
Just DC. Controls that state just like New York City controls New York.
Yeah,
but it's in play. But we'll see, man. I'm just praying that everything goes smooth and that I've survived 4 years of that kind, that side, and I've survived 4 years of that side, and knowing that Jesus is in control, we'll keep living for the Lord regardless of who wins. And I know that tomorrow my charge has not changed. It is to make much of Christ. So
and I also know that morals is still going to keep sliding down. I don't know how much further they can go, but no matter who's president.
Well, I mean, hey, look, we are headed. Every day is a day closer to the end of when we will get to fly.
Well, we were literally just talking about this in the lobby just now a few minutes ago with Doug. And I, first of all, wholeheartedly agree with you. And it's something that I'm having to try to fight myself on, I think, a little bit, is to not just give up on that side, right? Because even though it's obviously we're seeing a pretty obvious pattern, and if you read Revelation and you read the Olivet Discourse and all the scripture that pertains to the subject, it seems a lot of boxes are getting checked. But at the same time, I always try to remember the one where he says nobody knows, not even.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So
we could have another 100 years.
Trying to not just say, well, the game's over, let's just wait for him to be here.
Still play.
You still play
each day, but it doesn't matter who's on the earthly throne.
I do know one thing that
which party's in control.
I do know one instruction of truth that wouldn't be a very popular one, I think, for a lot of people. But I do know this: whoever wins, I know that I'm supposed to pray for them.
That's right,
and that's
exactly right. Even if I didn't vote for them, and even if I'm. Just against that party or against that candidate.
Yeah.
I'm supposed to pray for him.
I mean, I can make the argument that the most Christian thing a Christian can do is pray for the candidate that they didn't vote for.
Sure.
That's probably the hardest thing to do and probably one of the most Christian things that we're called to do is to pray for that one that you are so mad that they won.
Yep. But and I think it's fair to say, pray for their salvation.
Yeah.
Pray for godly leadership. God, would you put some godly wisdom around them? Mm-hmm. And if you don't, Lord, confound them so that everybody knows their foolishness.
Yeah.
I mean, there's things to pray, but we do want to pray for their wisdom because, look, Paul goes on to say that we might live a quiet and tranquil life, and by living a quiet and tranquil life, present Christ to others. So, we'll see. I'm not worried about it. I told Renee today, what can you do? You go to work and you do your thing. And guess what? Tomorrow, if it goes the way I like, good. If it don't, I'm going to go to work and do the thing I do, and I'm going to go and make much of the Lord.
Yeah. I think Kenny's writing a poem or a song or something over here.
I'm writing my grocery list.
And for the listeners who don't know, that could be he could be writing a song, writing a poem, or writing his grocery list. None of those would be unprecedented.
No, I'm kidding you.
Well, this has been an interesting show so far.
Yes,
and it's been good. I needed an interesting start to it. I had a deep week, a lot of stuff going on this week with Gabe, and a lot of overwhelming emotions.
Sunday.
So,
good time
Sunday was a heck of a. I mean, I know I've heard people say sometimes that. You know, you stepped on their toes, and you say, "Well, I was aiming for your heart." Well, you kind of caught me with a shotgun blast. I'm picking shrapnel in a lot of places I didn't know I had from Sunday.
I was so tickled to see Gabe make that decision, and this Sunday be baptized, man. That's top notch, man. That's what you're looking forward to.
Perfect timing too to sandwich it on the for my birthday falling this week on Wednesday. You couldn't think of a better way to book in that birthday week, man. That's gonna be the best birthday ever just from that. So
I love it.
That was pretty cool.
And I'm sorry I didn't go up there because I had a lot. This month is my administration month, so I'm up the stairs doing the count and taking the offering and all that. Well, I didn't take the offering, doing the prayer.
Yeah. But, well, I can tell you from talking to Gabe,
this whole month I won't be in the service.
Well, I'm sure he was blown away and kind of overwhelmed.
He was. I asked him. Well, this one surprised me. This was really funny to me at the end of the service. So I had intentionally stayed back and let Gabe do his thing, and then you've had to call out and say, "Hey, y'all get up here! Don't leave him by himself." Yeah. Well, I wasn't going to leave him by himself. I was going to be up there as soon as I could. But he actually said, when I asked him about it, I said. He said, "I know." He said, "I didn't want y'all to come up there." I said, "You didn't?" He said, "No." He said, "I wanted to be up there." I said, "Well, why?" He said, "I mean, kind of my moment. Yeah. I didn't want you taking it." I said, "Well, I thought you'd be bashful."
I'll put it this way. You know, I don't know half them people shaking my hand.
Yeah.
And for Gabe, he has that excuse. For me, I didn't have that excuse. I grew up in this church, so I should know their names.
Yeah.
And at 11 years old or 9 years old, I was sitting there like, I don't know who you are.
Well, I was really surprised.
I bet I do. And now later, I look
back.
Do you
know the face?
Well, yeah, I knew their face because they're in church every week.
Yeah,
but you know how it is.
And even if you do know the name, if you're not seeing them that much, you're trying
to think of their name. And part of it too is think about it. For think about your wife, Renee. Mm-hmm. I knew who Renee Averett was.
Yeah.
She was older than me, so I didn't grow up with her.
Yeah.
But I did know Susan. They were about the same age. So, I knew Susan's parents, but I didn't know that was Don and Peggy. It was just Mr. and Miss Avery. Yeah. And I may not have known them out of, just out of the blue with everybody shaking my hand. So it was intimidating to me.
Well, you shouldn't forget Renee's name now.
Never.
Impossible.
That's one name you should not forget.
Nope.
Yeah.
It won't.
It's even spelled the same way.
But I knew Renee and Donnie and Susan, but it's just, I don't know that if you'd have came up and said, pick out their parents in a line. But I knew them.
It's a lot to take in, whatever age you are, honestly. When I joined the church here, and I come up here, I mean, you just got a lot of people
faces you don't
in
know.
Well, when people come up to you now, and you don't know who they are.
Yeah,
but they know
but
you.
They know you,
you and you're. And
that's that's what we want to present.
Yeah, it's a good. It can be intimidating to an extent,
right?
But at the same time, you can flip it on upside down and see what a blessing it is, and when you see how
there's people for
how genuine. The care is and the love that you're
they are there
the
for you.
They really
even
are.
Even if you don't know all their names, they're there for you.
And it's good when they tell you your name, and you don't have to know their name, but they know you.
Is that really good?
Yeah. Well, not for him because he's got the hell, isn't it?
Yeah, I know. But for me and you, it ain't good.
But when someone remembers your name, that's impressive.
Yeah.
Then you can talk about anything else. They can say anything else, but what will impress you more is next time they see you, or you see them, they say your name.
Yeah. And there's a lot that, when you talk to them, they do call you, they do address you by name. Mm-hmm. And it's, you do appreciate when people have taken the time. And I'm trying really hard, especially with those name tags we have now on Thursday mornings, I'll just walk by and kind of catch a glance at the ones I don't know and try to see how quick I can memorize some. Because you want to get to know everybody, but there's 200 and some people that you interact with pretty regularly. It's hard to know them all, for sure.
Yeah.
But that was a cool thing. Sometime or another, I'll have to get the lowdown on what, because I wasn't really involved in any of the conversations. I let Gabe kind of have his, I dropped him off here that day and y'all talked, and then me and him had a real good talk Thursday night. I'll tell you, this is where it started to really work on me a little bit, because as I talked to Gabe Thursday night, I started to really see how much the Lord really was working. It was this was real to him. This was something that was very, it wasn't. Yeah. I think one of the things that you talked about Sunday, and I thought of, you know, it is an act of obedience to the Lord. And I was really, I guess, hearing it that way, kind of started thinking about it. I was a little bit worried that he was going to do it out as an act of obedience to me,
right,
because he knows
right.
Dad wants to do it.
Well, and that's one of the things too that I wanted to make sure he understood is, look, man, this ain't a decision you make to make your dad or mom happy. It's a decision that, okay, this is who Christ is, and it's a decision you have to make. I said, this is really a grown-up decision.
It is.
Even when 8 and 9 year olds are making it, this is a lifetime decision you're making. And I know that's hard. And that's why for someone like Gabe, I'm to the place of I almost prefer him to be that age than I do 5 and 6. That, all right, let's let that, even if they're at 5 and 6, hey, that's, it's real.
Yeah.
But I'd rather it, okay, let's let them mature in that. Let's let them walk in that. I know I did with my Daniel. Yeah. He was ready at 5, but it was much later before we baptized him that, okay, now you understand it. And this is what this is about.
Well, as he and I talked about it, and you know, I was trying really hard to make sure that he knew not to do it just to make me happy or anything like that. And at the same time, it's impossible for him to not realize how happy that I would be from it. And, you know, I didn't want him to do it for that reason. But as we talked about it more Thursday night, I mean, it was just really obvious that it's working on him. And you talk about it hitting you that night. I remember just see if I can get through it now without crying, because I was just sitting there just thinking about it, and it just hit me really hard. And I've cried Thursday night, I've cried Saturday night, and I'm sitting there thinking, Sunday, I ain't going to get through this.
A cheap watch.
Yeah, that's right.
Broke down.
Now, and I managed to get through the service okay Sunday, and I cried the rest of the day.
Mm-hmm.
But I do appreciate the Lord letting me get through the service.
Nothing wrong with that, man. Listen, I do believe that me and all the time act like, you know, something wrong with crying. Listen.
Yeah.
You know, it is good to have a soft and tender heart towards the Lord. And some of the most manly men I've ever met would break down and cry in a heartbeat.
Yeah.
If they saw a grandkid or a child hurting or saw the Lord do something, man, I love it.
Well, Mama asked me when I got up there, she said as she was watching the service, her and my aunt were talking about, you know, I know Garrett's crying his eyes out right now. And I said, well, actually, I wasn't
No,
then.
You were good during the
service.
I said,
it was afterwards that I really
got
did.
Got real, real fast.
Yeah, it did. But but there was something in your sermon also that touched on that when you said it's not of blood, it's not of the will of man, and I don't remember which.
Not of will of flesh.
Will of flesh, and then will of man was the one where you said, you know,
your
I can't pray you
to.
Into
That's
it.
That's right.
But also that it's of God, because I tell you, we talked a lot about pride last week, and it was a good time for me to have that refresher, because if there is a time that it could be really, really easy to slip up on the pride side and try to take credit for something, it would be seeing your child make that decision. You can really feel like you had a hand in that, right?
And I must not be a bad dad after all.
That's right.
But and you I did knew, have a hand in it.
Well,
you did, but at the same
everybody,
time.
But not just you. Everybody had a hand in it.
And at the same time, it's God that does the saving and the work.
That's the thing, because at the end of the day, it was, I mean, I was real quick to recognize as I was thinking through it that Thursday night, that, you know, I need to make sure I'm remembering who gets the credit for this just really hit. That's where it really started to hit me.
Thank you, Lord, for using me
in
some small way, whether it's reading a Bible story every night. Thank you, Lord, for using me, whether it's preaching and he heard something in a sermon. But I know that it's the Holy Spirit that does the work, and it's the Word of God. But thank you that we get to be a part of it. And
absolutely.
I think that's the cool thing. Yeah.
But I know what you're saying is, when I think about my salvation, it didn't come through my family.
Mm-hmm.
It came through outside. None of my family were Christians at the time.
Well, I can use the opposite side from my experience with it, too, because, I mean, both of my mom and dad are very close with the Lord and have been, you know, I grew up that way, and we talked about it all the time, you know, so it was, but it wasn't, it's like you said before, planting those seeds and spinning that web is the way the image you used before.
Putting a thread on it.
It was, they may have put the threads in place, so to speak, but there's no doubt about it. In fact, me and Mom were talking about this week that she was, you know, I don't know if regrets, kind of that she hated that she wasn't there when I was saved. And I said, well, it wasn't anything that you could have done anything about, right? I mean, that night, he didn't ask me if she was there or not, right? It just happened. But she certainly played her part in that. Right. But it was the spirit that lit the match that night and said, "This today's the day." And it's the, but at the same time, there's a, it's humbling too, in the gratitude you get for, because you know how much it means. God knows how much it means to me to see that from Gabe, right?
That's right.
And it's the greatest gift.
Yeah.
You could give it, yeah.
Well, so, and one of the things, I'll share this, one of the things I used to love when I was doing counseling at, like, various rallies, whether it was a youth rally where they were going to present the gospel, and they would have people up there ready to talk, you know. And one of the things that I always asked when that child or that teenager or that even that adult would give their heart to the Lord or make that decision, my first question to them was, tell me, who's been praying for you? Mm-hmm. Because without a doubt, they already had somebody they could say, well, my grandmother probably. Mm-hmm. Let's call them right now. Mm-hmm. And we, you know, cell phone, you could call them up. Grandma, I just made a decision, and you could tell. There it is. And so they're usually, I mean, yes, God's the one that's doing the work, but God also lays on people's hearts to begin praying mm-hmm. for people. So there's people praying. There's people witnessing. There's people just doing little small acts of kindness, whatever the case may be. But through it all, I dare say no one comes to Christ in a vacuum, hardly.
Yeah.
In fact, I don't know of too many at all. Somebody somewhere did something to share, but it was God who was working in their heart.
I had thought about that a lot, and because when I started going to the church, nobody in my family was. I don't know of anybody in my family.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not talking about my immediate family, but my whole family.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been puzzled by that question, or I answered to that question. And I've come to the conclusion that...
We know which question we're talking about.
Who was praying for me?
Mm-hmm. Okay. I bet I can answer it.
And I... let me say it and see if you agree.
I'll let you know if you're
right.
Let's
get some notes. Y'all just pass the note to me.
I'll let you know if you're right.
As I thought about it over the years, I think it was Renee's mother praying for me.
Mm-hmm.
And she's praying not for her own children, but for their spouses.
Or their future son-in-law.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, better believe it.
Their spouses, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's who I think it was,
mm-hmm.
And probably because, and I don't say this, and her side, just knowing her, I thought that she was the one that was had a lot to do with me coming, or praying for me to come.
That's exactly who I had, and I had one other. You got saved at like a tent revival type event?
Yeah, well, no, it was in church, but it was a 9-week revival, yes.
I guarantee you there were some folks already at that church pouring their heart out that, Lord, would you save folks? And Lord, would you? It may not have been Kenny, but I guarantee you. And your mother-in-law, I know, was praying for a godly son-in-law.
So I think that's, that's the only place. Those two are the
But you, if I'd have said, all right, let's call them, I don't know who to call.
You're right.
But for the most part, when I've done that at other places, and we can call them.
It's been many years later that I come to that conclusion after I was married for a while, because I've always wanted to know who was praying for me.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
One of the coolest things I've seen from when I was up in Asheville for the Did you hear what they had in the worship center there, what they had done that? So I didn't know this until the third night, I guess, I was there, but you see, walking through the worship center, there are names written on the walls.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and I didn't know what it was. I figured people to pray for whatever, but it was, they had done a thing for the whole year of people to write down people praying for salvation. Mm-hmm. So going back through then and seeing the ones that had been marked out, boy, that's a really cool thing to see. And it was, it's so funny to see when you see just the individual names and you just think about the person behind that and the person behind the person that wrote the name down. Mm-hmm. And, you know, certainly there's, people in my mind that I would want to write, it was too dark in the sanctuary. If I could have found a pen, I might would have wrote some down. But it was just a really cool idea that they had done there, and, just kind of illustrating that. And there's a song I'll plug here, too, by the way. If anybody hasn't heard this one, look up Jimmy Clifton, mm-hmm. that does Crucified in Christ. He has a song called More.
Yeah.
And it's a really, I love that song. It's a prayer. It's essentially a prayer for a lost person, but it's talking about, it's kind of approaching it from the perspective of Jesus chasing somebody down, and it's just a really cool song, thinking about how many people do pray for
some good stuff. I've listened to that one. I liked it.
I've enjoyed that one, and but no, it was a special thing and overwhelming for me Sunday for sure. And then between that and the sermon, and then we had the thing on the with the guys talking about the trip up there. I mean, it was just
Sunday.
It's been an eventful few weeks.
That was a Sunday, and what a good Sunday. But at the same time, it has been. We had team number two up in the mountains. Team one gave a testimony. Team three is getting ready to light out probably Sunday or Monday. Mm-hmm. Kind of like y'all did, except they're going to Hendersonville. Uh-huh. And so it's we've got six so far that are going. And it looks like this is my turn to go.
Are you going for this one
for a week?
Actually, what I'm going to do is go up Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and come back Wednesday, because I got to get ready for the weekend, man. Yeah.
Okay. They play this week, next week.
What's that?
Football is next week.
Unfortunately, we're done.
Oh, they get beat this week.
They ain't getting the playoffs.
Isn't it? Yeah, they had to do was win against Willow Springs, and
Willow Springs had not won a game, have they?
I think they had won one.
Did they get in it?
They beat South Garner, and then they beat us to finish next to third from the bottom. And third from the bottom got in, I think. I hadn't seen the postings, but we
– for the last.
Yeah, believe it. Man, I tell you what, I talked with the guy Sunday, and every one of them talked about, man, that was the saddest bus ride. He said, it ain't nothing but tears. You heard people just sobbing. And he said, I was so glad that the ride won't be 15 minutes because everybody was just broken hearted.
I would have betted on that they would.
DraftKings, baby, DraftKings.
The Fuquay Willow Springs line.
Yeah. Well, I told people, I said, Fuquay's got this. And I had people threaten me up in the kitchen that I thought we were done and we couldn't.
Yeah, I was telling them, we got one more night because I was going by what you said. Yeah, how can they not beat them?
Yeah. How can they not beat them? That's a good question because they didn't.
And, by the way, we. Celebrate Recovery here.
Yeah, Hispanic.
The guy that I've got to do and I'm just helping him out for a couple months, and they can go on their own. And you know him.
Danny?
Yeah, he'll be doing his testimony tonight.
Good. Danny's a good one.
So. Yep. And speaking of that, I had actually just thought about it. I had a, this is something I've never said publicly, but anyway, Friday, my liver is back to normal. I've never said this before, that I suffer from cirrhosis. Yeah, mm-hmm. Cirrhosis to the liver, and I didn't know if I. That's why I say I didn't know if I'd liver die. And, but I do remember in the hospital saying that I didn't want to. Tell the Lord I would do, I would serve him for the rest of my life and do whatever I could if I didn't die from liver disease. Mm-hmm. I might, die from it later, I don't know, but anyway, and my prayer has been answered. I just remember, and I was in bad shape because I do know they drained me four times. And it wasn't like a bucket, it was like five. Mm. That's a lot. Like sand liters. Buckets?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Liters of...
I don't know how many liters of one of those sand buckets are.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's like liters of fluid. I had a friend that had cirrhosis of the liver. It was non-alcoholic, but still.
Yeah.
It was, and he would tell me, they drew all 5 liters today of just fluid. And that would be about every month.
And this was, this was within maybe a month and a half, maybe two. And so my liver wasn't working that well, and really... what I understand is that if you don't have a liver, you can't live because that cleans everything out.
You have to do some other things.
And so I didn't know if I was going to live or die, but I did. I remember praying, and the Lord said, "I'm not through with you yet." Mm-hmm. And I fell asleep. I was surprised I woke up. But anyway, I have now since then have been. I don't want to say completely, but I guess that there's nothing really else I can say. My doctor told me that you have a normal liver now.
Awesome.
Wow.
Well, we thank the Lord for that.
Absolutely. Amen.
So, and that's my biblical motivation is the promise that I made to the Lord that I would do everything I could, you know, for the kingdom of God. Yeah.
And you've been given a second chance.
Yeah. And so, and now, and sometimes, you know, I don't say that I'm an alcoholic, and the world does, but, you know, I don't care what they say. I'm going to live right anyway. And so, to me, I never had a problem afterwards. There's one time that I guess it might have been a month after I had quit. I just thought, what would it be like to, you know, I was sitting in my garage or something like that. And, but today, I find myself going down the beer aisle looking for water, and I know I'm there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So it's not a, they always say once alcoholic is alcoholic, but I know that Jesus set me free.
Yeah.
And well, so, he cured you and he healed you.
Yeah. And I have not had no temptation. I don't even care about it. I don't, and I'm around people. Like it don't bother me. But I am free.
And, amen. Well, who the Son sets free.
Yeah, and that's the scripture that I go by. The world thinks I'm an alcoholic, and that's okay. I don't care what they think.
Well, there's the...
I don't care what they may say.
Yeah, they.
I know there's a...
They.
Yeah.
I've always said if I could have found they, I'd have whooped them a long time ago.
Yeah, right.
They are.
Yeah. I know there's a way of thinking out there that, you know, people who haven't drank in 30 years will say, you know, they're still an alcoholic and that but I've experienced something somewhat similar on a different scale with the gambling stuff. I mean, yeah. It's not, I remember you asking me one time or saying just in the passing one time, you know, you see all these DraftKings and things.
No,
like,
no.
Now, say a subtle, you know, a quick little prayer for me. I don't have any temptation to gamble in that kind of way. And it's not a, I'm so mad about it and I hate it so bad. I'm not. And it's also not a, well, I can control it. And it would,
right.
I just look at it now. It's just like, I mean, it's not what I want to spend my time doing. It's not something that I even think too much about. So you can play me all the DraftKings commercials you want to. I did almost the other day. I had to, FanDuel has a sports network and Gabe wanted to watch a basketball game.
Right.
I had to download something so he could watch it. It was just strictly to try to get it, and it didn't even work. I couldn't even get the game on. I get what you're saying though. You don't have the, it's just not on your mind. It's, yeah, cause, well, you're, cause what is on you? What's on your mind in its place? Jesus is on your mind.
Right.
Yeah.
The last thing you're thinking about.
And it's and look, that battle is different for all people.
It is.
There are some who still struggle and fight.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and I'm not saying alcohol's wrong.
Right.
I'm not saying it's right. For me, it's wrong because I like it too much. And I know a lot of Christian people that have a glass of wine or whatever they want to do. I'm okay with it. But for me, I don't do it because I will drink the whole bottle and another bottle. So. Mm.
This is a very cliche thing to say, and I'm not the only one probably that's ever said anything like this, but I think somewhere along the line, I finally came to terms with the fact that I have a very, I don't know if the word's compulsive or addictive, what my personality is to go to excess in whatever I do, right?
You're going
to
go full bore.
Right. I don't half throttle anything.
Yeah, there's no throttle.
Yeah. And there just came a point in my life, I think, where I don't remember exactly what the day was, where I thought, you know what, if I went full throttle towards Jesus, wonder how things would go a little differently, and that's kind of the way it's been approached. And I think it, whether it's the, I don't know if you would say the same thing about your personality or not, but I could see that being something that, what a heart you have for the Lord now, or the how big of a heart you have for the Lord now can come from just the, hey,
oh, yeah,
go as hard towards him as you did towards other things.
Well, I've got a lot of improvement on that, you know, heart for the Lord. I can use a lot more than what I have now. So.
And that's what we're trying to do every single day, just like, you know, I was trying to find one more gambling rush or one more drink rush or one more whatever. We're always wanting more. That's how we got where we were.
Well, I mean, but, it is. I mean, you grew up playing a sport that is always about, I can be better.
Mm-hmm.
I got to push. I got to drive. It's called golf.
Right.
And you go out there and shoot 3 under today. Well, somebody went out there and did 4 under.
Or you missed a putt.
I missed a putt.
There's always something.
I didn't hit that drive. So there's always that. Got to be better, and you can never perfect it.
Yep. Absolute all-time low round ever, I bogeyed the first 3 holes.
There you go.
So, that's one that I look back.
Oh, and now if I had that back, I could do 3 better.
You're always
And so that is a sport, and a lot of times other sports, but we are driven, and when we're driven to perfection and you can't do it, and you're always got that all gas, no brakes, man, that can be a dangerous place to be, depending on what you're all gas, no brakes for.
Yeah. And it can also
doesn't have to be gambling, or it doesn't have to be alcohol. It doesn't have to be drugs. It can be just look.
It can be your work. It can be it can be anything. World. If it, I think that's
coffee.
Whenever you're driven to, I am going to, you know, and you take your eyes off Christ, and it's not about Him anymore, but about what I got to do. Yeah, there, that's a dangerous place to be.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember my father used to have coffee. It was like 30 cups a day, at least. He made his own coffee. Coffee bean. Yeah, he ground it. I can understand, and I don't drink coffee at all.
He just grounded his own, right? You know, you buy him at A&B.
Yeah.
Okay. I was like, he grow them?
He might have. I didn't see him. He did grind them. Yeah. And it was strong. It was black, and it was strong. And I just remember in July, and when I'm sweating to death, he's out there just
drinking coffee.
I mean, always a cup of white cup in his hand all the time.
I love coffee, but when it's hot, I have to get the iced coffee or something. It's too much.
Oh, I get it in the morning, and that's about it.
He I have about one day. Or two cups in the morning.
Yeah,
they tell you he drunk coffee all the time.
Yeah.
But,
I'd have to have some gum or something.
I could go to sleep like that. Yeah, that's too much caffeine.
Yeah.
But
Well, and it has been a very helpful thing for me along the way with my walk with God, has been trying to remember that personality is not necessarily, it's been almost reassuring to me in ways, because I hated my addictive personality for a long time, and I really, you know, kind of, why do I have to always do things success? Why can't, you know, and it was when I finally, there was a point in time where I kind of felt like God made me the way He made me, and He needed me that way for what He wanted me to do, not for what I was deciding to do with it, right? Because those exact same characteristics come in awfully handy when you're, I mean, I think Paul had a pretty addictive personality.
Oh, yeah. He made no mistake in making you.
Yeah.
That's for sure. I think just sometimes we get off course.
Yeah.
And that's the thing, that stay on course.
Yeah.
Again, fixing your eyes upon Christ, the author and perfecter of your faith.
Yeah.
And we're going to be talking about that tomorrow night, Wednesday night, Hebrews 3. Is I've had such a good time studying verse 1. I don't even know what to do with myself. We're talking about the apostle and the high priest, who Jesus is, because two of the greatest needs we have as human beings is, one, to hear from God, and how can I know God?
Mm-hmm.
Because in order for me to know God, I got to hear from Him.
Yeah.
And so therefore, when verse 1 describes Him as the apostle and the high priest, there you are, man. That's the apostle is one that's sent with the message. The high priest is the one who makes it possible for me to know God. So I'm looking forward to, I've just enjoyed having a big time with that.
I loved the way you described Sunday, the analogy of stepping out on the bridge and how you know you believe, because that's a really, really tough one. And I thought it was just a great way to explain that, because we talked about a couple shows ago, easy believism, and you said I am easy believism to an extent.
Yeah.
In that
it doesn't require much.
Right. But how do you know? And you were right, it's not intellectual consent or intellectual acknowledgement of, okay, did Jesus walk the earth? Okay. But even taking it a step further, I think you can even, and correct me if I may not be saying this right, but I think you could even intellectually consent to Jesus being the Son of God and that not be quite the same as believing. Right, in that type of
I think there's a piece of that.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, again, it all depends on exactly what you're talking about, but I believe you're exactly right, that when as the analogy of the bridge is no, yeah, I believe He's the Son of God, and I am depending wholeheartedly on that.
Yeah.
I got no other hope but what Christ did.
And the way, for anyone, for listeners who didn't see the sermon, I'll recap the analogy, is that's when you find out if somebody truly, you were talking about crossing a bridge, is kind of a raggedy looking, how do you know it's going to hold? It's when you put all your weight on it.
Yep.
And that's because if somebody's standing in the middle of that bridge over the 2 mile deep ravine, you know they believe that bridge is going to hold. They've proven it by that point.
Yep. It may still be a little shaky,
right?
But they're believing it.
Yeah. And I think
that's really what believe is I am going all in.
Yeah.
All of me is sold into, bought into, depending upon, sold out to the one who paid the price for me.
Yeah. And it shows the point that you made in it was, it's believing in the promise itself, because, and the character of the promise maker is the point that you made. I mean, he doesn't lie.
Right.
His word has promised.
Titus 1:2. He himself cannot lie.
That's right. So he's promised that this is the way. Us stepping out in faith to show that, shows that we have faith and shows that we believe his promises, which it just kind of all starts to come together in the, you can't do one without the other, right? You can't halfway believe that he never lies.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Do you really believe it?
Right.
And that's why, again, the title of the sermon was, it's not complicated.
Yeah.
Let's not make this thing complicated.
Yeah.
It's deep. I give you that.
Yeah.
But let's not make it complicated.
Yeah.
I had a good time with that. I think the guys on the football team did as well. That was a special time for me and for them. Getting to stand with them on the sideline every week is it's a special treat for me. I know nothing like they do of football. I know enough to be dangerous. I just know I love it, and I love those guys. And one day I'm going to be standing on the sideline for a state championship. I know it.
They had a good show.
I hope they give me a ring, too.
Well, I'm talking about the high school or the NC
high school.
State?
Yeah, I'm talking about the high school.
Yeah, okay, well, I can go with that.
Because they get a state ring if they win. I want one. I'm going to be like,
I had a little imagery this week I was going to run by you. So I was talking to Gabe Thursday night, and part of our conversations that was really showing me that something was working in there was he was asking a lot of deep questions, and some of them in particular were about conviction, really.
Okay, yeah.
And you can tell there were some things he's really trying to quit doing, or he's trying to work on, or why am I doing this, and I don't understand it. And I said, look, man, I said, one of the biggest misunderstandings I think people can have is that I've accepted Christ, so now I'm perfect.
Now I don't sin.
I said, if anything, I think it might go the other direction for a little bit. I said, but the way you, not completely the other direction, but there, you start to notice more of your sin right. after he starts to work in your life. I said, the best way I can think of to explain this, and help me unpack this if it's right or not, but I said, imagine a boiling pot of water, and we're going to throw ice cubes in there, and you throw an ice cube in a pot of boiling water, what's going to happen? And it's going to immediately melt.
Yeah, go quick.
Now, I said, to me, I'm trying to explain sanctification in a way if you eventually...
Because I said,
as you throw more and more of these ice cubes in there, you don't see anything happening. But what is happening is that heat is being absorbed into the water, and it is actually cooling down that pot of water.
Slowly but surely.
Now, in my analogy, there is no more heat source. We've turned the stove off.
Stove's off.
Right.
Okay.
But as you continue to throw more ice in it, that ice, it's disappearing, but it's absorbing the heat in the process.
Right.
And over time, the ice will last a little longer, and eventually it won't melt as fast. And so eventually it will bring that temperature down, and you will see that.
And it'll stay there longer.
You do it long enough, you'll have a pot of ice water where it used to be boiling water.
Right.
But each of those cubes, it doesn't happen overnight. Now, I think in the sanctification process, there are big buckets of ice that get thrown in at times. It's not a steady drip of one cube at a time. But there is a little bit of it's replacing the sinful nature with God's nature, but it's not something that happens instantly, and it is something that we're constantly working on.
Yeah, where it's constantly being worked out, because you are given the Spirit of Christ, you're partakers of the divine nature. It's just that, okay, that old flesh is still there too.
Yeah.
And that would be, of course, the boiling water.
Yep.
And so, as you partake, I can see that's not a bad analogy.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think if you really knew how bad you are, even after you're saved, there wouldn't be no way you could change.
Yeah,
you know, and I think that's the one thing that as we get older, our relation evolves and closer to God, we start seeing these little things that, well, I didn't even think that was wrong, just our thought process. I personally thought my thought process was pretty good,
but that's the power of Christ in me,
right?
But that's the beauty of it.
But I ain't changed. I ain't recognize that. That, hey, my thought pattern is not as good as I thought it was until much later. I do remember when I first got saved, I said a cuss word quickly.
Knew that was wrong.
I knew that was wrong. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know 20 years later that my thoughts are wrong too.
Yeah.
So, but
from
it was
the heart, the mouth speaks.
It just slowly and slowly and slowly as I got older in age, and it might be a maturity, development too. Older, I see more things wrong with myself that I thought I was okay with.
Yeah.
You know, pride was a big one. I didn't realize I was so prideful. Pride's a big one. Yeah.
Indeed.
Just all
for everybody.
I can't speak of how many. No, definitely. I'm not as, I wouldn't say holy, but I'm not as perfect as I thought I was. I was more perfect when I first came to Christ. I realize now I'm nowhere near that.
I got a long way to go.
Yeah, and that's pride.
I think it's one, and I've used it before. It's one of my favorite sayings is, no, when you come to Christ, you will not be sinless, but you should want to sin less.
Yeah.
And even as you mature in Christ, you're still going to see, man, there's pockets of my life that fall so short. There's pockets of my life that it may not. And what I always, oftentimes equate it to, and I think I've used this on the show, is it's like digging a hole. You know, mm-hmm. Where I'm at, it's easy to dig the hole. Mm-hmm. But then sooner or later, you're going to start getting the stony ground.
Mm-hmm.
And that stony ground is little bitty sins that you thought, it ain't no big deal compared to everybody else. Everybody else does it. It can be pride. It can be coveting. It can be jealousy that nobody really sees, but it's inside.
And you didn't see it at first.
Now you're really seeing it.
Yeah.
And now you're really like, golly, God, how sick I am and how desperately wicked this heart is.
And a lot of, I see a lot of people that aren't saved, but they think they're good enough to go to heaven.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
And I was one of those, but I was saved. But now I realize I can't be good enough. Because Christ died for everybody. But a lot of times we think he just died for our major sins. No, we are so far away from God that Jesus Christ had to die for everyone.
And nobody gets there without him. His standard is perfection. Well, you can't miss him one point.
And then the scripture comes to mind in Matthew, I think it's 5:6, or it might be 5:11.
Be holy because I'm holy?
I was going to say, be ye therefore perfect as I am perfect, mm-hmm. as your Father is mm-hmm. perfect. But I guess that's a different translation.
But the same goes to when Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Pharisees, you ain't going to see the kingdom of heaven. Well, they were pretty righteous dudes. Yeah. So how's that going to happen? Anyway. How's that going to happen? The same way. It's the same principle behind both verses.
Well, I guess.
Is that it's the Spirit of God in me. And it's by being born again and by maturing and growing and needing Christ's righteousness and Christ's holiness, that's how it becomes.
And I think a lot of times we know how bad someone else is, but we really don't know how bad we are. We feel like we're all right.
I can't
tell you how many times I've heard somebody say, I'm not like that person.
There you go.
Yeah. But yes, you are, really.
Well, kinda. Sometimes what I like to do in life or even with the Bible is, and y'all catch the really unfortunate side of this, is I will overcomplicate things to the nth degree to see how much I can then simplify it back down to the least common denominator. And the one I always end up coming back to, and I told them on Sunday morning in Sunday school, if I were a pastor, I'd be the most boring pastor ever because I'd just preach on love every single week. Love, 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 love. That's it.
Because
when you just take it down to that.
That might not be a bad thing.
Every sin we can have comes either from not loving God or not loving others. One or the other. They all come back down to that at some point. And you can fake your way through all the rules and check all those boxes, hating it and white knuckling it and gritting your teeth and all this stuff. And as you start to grow in the Lord and really feel that love, then you start to feel bad for things that you thought bad about somebody that you never said anything, you never showed it, but you just, man, how did I feel that way in that situation? How could I? Then you start to see what an unloving heart you have, and that's where you really, but you get that from knowing God's love. It's just love. It's not complicated. It's love. There it is.
It's not complicated.
But it is hard to love everybody. To love the way God loves is humanly impossible.
Quickly, I gotta wrap up. But I do want to throw out a question to y'all, and it's pretty cool. And maybe we pick it up next week. Had a guy email me, church member, great guy. He's in a Bible study, and he made a comment the other night at the last week's Bible study that he said,
"Which Bible
Christian?
Study?
It's not one of yours."
Okay.
Yeah. Actually, it's a group of men in another church, but okay. So, but he said this. He said he made the comment Christianity is hard.
Yeah.
And some of the guys in the group said, no, it's not. No, it's not. And he texted me and he said, am I off base here? And I said, no, I think you're right, but I think they're right too.
Yeah.
And I said, therein lies, there's Rome, again, Romans 6, yeah. Romans 7, yeah. Romans 8.
Yeah.
I said, read Romans 7 and tell me, does Paul think it's easy?
It's easy, yeah.
Read Romans 8, does Paul think it's easy? Yeah, it's by walking by the Spirit. Mm. But there's still that flesh that remains. Mm. And that's where I was trying to help him to see that, no, you're both right and yeah. you're both wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's not easy to the point of, hey, walking on easy street, but it's not so complicated and difficult that it can't be done.
It's not A, it's not B, it's C, is what yeah. you're saying.
I think yeah. it's easy to know what to do and it's hard to do it. It's easy to know that we're just called to love others.
But it's also, once you know the secret to it,
is it
easy?
The times that I get it right seem to come easy, and the times right. I get it wrong seem to be yeah. hard, you know?
It's
kind of like golf. How hard is golf? Ask me. It depends on what I shot that day, you know? On a good day, it's easy. On a bad day, it's hard.
But so, what anyway. I meant to say when I was saying all that is, I'm just as bad as Ben.
Yeah. Yeah. We're all as bad as we're together. It's all the same. Yeah. Yeah.
And I guess that's where we're getting it at is yeah. the spirit yeah. that does this. It's, as we say at John 1:13. It's not the will of flesh, not the will of blood, not the will of man. It is but of God.
Yeah,
salvation, every bit of it, sanctification is of God. But now, do we have a process in it? Sure we do.
Sure.
Because Paul says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And we also have a step in it of, you got to make that decision.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just feel bad because I thought I was better than him, but I'm not.
Yeah, keep working at it.
Keep trying. Keep trying, champ.
We got to roll. Yeah. Bye, everybody. Yeah.
Yeah. I love y'all guys. Yeah. Thank you,
y'all, man.
Yeah. Hey, meals for 20-something years, dude.
Yeah. All them games.
When you stayed, I was kind of concerned for you.
Well, we hung a banner last night.
Yeah.
Women's basketball?
Well, men.
Oh, men.
Final Four and ACC yeah. championship. Football was supposed to be this year. We had some folks get hurt and some bad calls.
There's always an excuse.
That's right. Let me tell you something. The All-Carolina Conference, that's what ACC stands for. I love one of my favorite missionaries. He's a missionary in Haiti. He always would end his emails to me with, if I don't see you on this side, I'll meet you in the sky as he flies. It's supposed to be like flying away. That's pretty cool. Means nothing. There we go. Thank you. Thank you for that. Another 19 minutes and we've not said anything useful.
Well, okay. This might just end up being the outtake episode.
Yeah.
This is all outtake.
Oh, yeah, man. This is all outtake, yeah. 20 minutes.